blue ball.
That's right. It's Friday. We're on the stream. Bill Leff is at his tennis tournament today. Tune in on Monday to find out what happens. I'm sure he did well. Jimmy Mack is sitting in Bill's chair today.
Hey, hey.
Using his microphone.
And also wearing nothing but tennis whites.
Bill does not wear tennis whites.
I have very short shorts on that are extremely tight and a nice white shirt that's been cleaned and pressed just for the stream. So, and my legs are hairy and on full display.
All right. See, Bill doesn't wear tennis whites. In fact, we heard this the other day. He was playing at a country club that he didn't belong to. He was playing tennis with someone,
mm-hmm.
and they would only allow him to wear tennis whites, and he didn't have tennis whites, so he had to go buy tennis whites.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I envision, and Jasmine, correct me if I'm wrong, I envision Bill just wearing stuff that he wears here to work. Maybe not cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just kind of baggy shorts and a polo type shirt. Mm-hmm. And no, I think he wears a baseball cap to play tennis.
Can you? Can you
I
do
don't know.
Oh, yeah, people wear visors, those tennis visor things.
Oh, yeah, he should get a visor. That wouldn't look too weird.
He should just dress as stereotypical tennis guy as possible.
That's not him. You know, Bill.
Because we can do a calendar, a photo shoot with him, and that would be the 2019 Bill Leff tennis calendar.
He might be up for that.
And all in tennis whites. And he could do poses, like action poses with a racket. And I think that would be hysterical.
He is ambidextrous, as we all know. And he uses both hands as he plays, which is kind of... I took tennis lessons when I was in maybe junior high. And doing backhand for the first time, you'd think would be easy. But it's hard because it takes a lot of forearm strength to do it that way. Hitting it backhand is pretty easy.
I played tennis in high school a little bit. It was part of our PE program.
Yeah.
And I was miserable at it because I'd overpower the ball and knock it out of the court.
Well, yeah, you have to have control.
I had no control.
You still don't. You still don't.
True, true.
I want to tell you, I am married to Jimmy Mack. We have done Snide Remarks Radio for many years. It's still somewhere up on iTunes. We haven't done it since I started here at WGN, so over 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You currently do Rebel Force Radio, which is a podcast basically about Star Wars.
That's right.
Family-friendly.
Family-friendly, definitely. People say, well, why do you guys watch your language when you're talking about, you know, you're doing a podcast? There are no rules. Now, obviously, I come from a radio background, so there are certain things that have just been pounded into me as far as things you can and can't do on a microphone. But like most other people, I wouldn't mind just unleashing a string of profanities at my leisure. No, of course I wouldn't. But the main reason is people say, well, why do you abide by these rules when you do a podcast
where there are no rules?
It's
ingrained in our heads.
And I always say this. We talk about Star Wars on the show. They don't swear in Star Wars. So why would we swear in a show about Star Wars? It makes no sense. You have to stay within your subject matter and know your audience.
I bet Chewie has sworn.
You never know.
I think the foulest
language comes from R2-D2 with those beeps and stuff. I believe if that was ever transcribed, you would be shocked at what he's saying.
Is it
absolutely
Morse code?
Shocked.
What is it?
It is a binary language, is what they call it, which means it could only be understood by other computers.
But have they ever tried to... Here's a little something you can do on your podcast. I'm talking into the wrong side of the mic, I guess. Have they tried to translate it? Has any computer nerd tried to translate what R2's saying?
Well, no, because I don't think there's actually like any sort
of language. But you don't think.
Language
How
template.
Do you not, you don't know for a fact.
There have been certain pieces of fiction that would translate what R2 was saying.
Like what do you mean?
Like a novel or something. That, you know, it'd be like R2-D2 responded in a flurry of beeps and boops.
Oh, no, that's
what
not
he
what
was
I mean.
Trying to say
oh.
is...
Well, they're just making that up. Yeah. I want to know if a real... Like, who's the guy, who's the chess player who played against the machine? What was his name?
Karpov or something like that? It's been a long time. Cap something.
No.
Russian sounding name.
The guy.
Kasparov.
Yeah, I think that's
Kasparov.
It.
Kasparov.
He played against the chess against computer.
This is just like the real world when you're having a conversation like this and no one knows the answer. Everyone pulls out their cell phones. I have mine out. Wendy has hers out. Jasmine has hers out. Where would we be without Google? Where would we be? We'd be going to the library. That's probably what we'd be doing.
I can't find his name.
Me either.
Gary Kasparov.
Kasparov.
And I look, I only put in Gary. I didn't even have to look.
But so is that right?
Off the top of my head, I think so. But I mean,
I don't think it's Gary. He played chess against a machine. Why doesn't R2-D2 play against that machine? And then they could communicate, and then somebody could translate it.
Well, keep in mind that R2-D2 does know how to play chess, as featured in the original Star Wars. They played that chess board in the Millennium Falcon.
All right, I'm not checking Google. I'm checking my watch as you're talking.
And R2 handily beat Chewbacca. C-3PO said it's not wise to upset a Wookiee. Wookiees will rip people's arms out of their sockets if they lose.
All right, more coming up on Rebel Force Radio when you tune into that. Can we talk rock and roll? Because
yes!
That's something that we would love to talk about. There are some insane rock star rumors that have been bandied about, and we can go over some of them. And I can quiz you to I like to think that I'm a rock and roll mother.
Mm.
I was playing, HQ Trivia last night, and there was a music edition of it, and I thought, I am going to rock through this. And then question three, they had a glitch, so they shut down, and then like 25 minutes later, I happened to leave my iPad open, and I heard the music, so HQ Trivia started again. I got those same three questions right, and then I didn't know something about some rap tune. I didn't know.
It was a question about members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah. SZA, JZA, and something else, and SZA, I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you got your David Bowie question right.
The Ramones.
So, you know, the Ramones. So the rock and roll that was being thrown at you.
Beyonce's fans are from the Beehive. I got that. There was another one. This is an interesting little thing I'll throw out there. The studio version of the Queen's We Are the Champions.
Mm-hmm.
How does it end? What's the last word of the song when the song ends? So I said of the world, because we are the champions.
No, that's not right.
Of the world. It doesn't end like that. Champions is the last word, because it says,
yeah,
we are the champions.
We are the champions. And it just sort of ends.
Yep. I got that one wrong too. And that really got my goat.
One of the most famous rock songs ever recorded.
I know, but you have 10 seconds, which... The timer starts when they ask the questions. So technically you have like 8 seconds or less to answer a question, multiple choice, and you panic.
Mm.
And you gave me some wrong answers too. So,
that's not
fair. But these are rock and roll rumors that, I want you to tell me if they're true or false.
Oh, great.
All right?
Okay.
Charles Manson wrote a song for the Beach Boys.
This is true.
It is true.
That is true.
In most cases, rumors as ridiculous as this aren't true, but this one has been bouncing around for a while and is sort of true. Some of the details are a little hazy, but what can be confirmed is that after Charles Manson was released from prison in 1967, he started sharing some of his songs around in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
None other than Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys got his hands on one of his songs, Never Learn Not to Love. That's the name of the song. That should be a trivia question. Never Learn Not to Love. Eventually got around to releasing it in 1969. Rumor has it that the song was left almost completely intact. After the lyrical exchange, Manson started hanging out at Dennis's mansion before the infamous behavior terminated their friendship and got him kicked out.
Well, Charlie Manson was... among other things, you know, most people think of his great skills as being a cult leader and someone who conspired to kill people, but he actually was a musician. And I believe there was a demo of some of his songs released years and years ago. It was a hard to find demo.
Can I just ask, who buys that?
Well, there was the curiosity factor.
I don't want to know.
And the guys from Guns N' Roses actually got their hands on a copy of it and covered one of Charles Manson's songs on one of their albums. I think it was the album called The Spaghetti Incident. And on that album, Guns N' Roses covered Charlie Manson.
Well, it's all right. I'm burnt on Guns N' Roses, even though they just sold out like 15,000 shows that they were just at. But here's another one, true or false. A little Motley Crue in your background?
Sure, absolutely.
Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee went months without showering.
Oh, I believe that. You don't have to sell me on that, but I believe it.
Yeah, they went months without showering. Hang on. The two bandmates decided to wager a bet in 1980 while sitting in a hot tub. They're so gross. While sitting in a hot tub to see who could go the longest without showering or bathing. After months had gone by, neither of them had cracked. That was until Nikki Sixx was... I should have pre-read this. He was involved in a moment with a fan.
Yes.
And she... I guess was disgusted since he hadn't showered and he washed after that.
Oh, it's good to know that there's high standards happening there on the tour bus. That doesn't surprise me at all that all those right. guys didn't shower. And by the way, the name of the Charles Manson song that Guns N' Roses covered is called Look at Your Game Girl, and it's the final track on the Spaghetti Incident for anyone who would be curious.
Are you promoting Manson now?
No, I'm not, but we talked about it, so I thought it would be kind of important to follow up on that in case anyone
have you heard
wanted
it?
To play along. Yes, I did hear it when the album was initially released.
And?
And I don't really have any memory of it. It just didn't seem like a very good song. So,
all right, here, I'm just going to give you a little clue. They're all true. These are all true. But they're astounding facts. They're rock and roll, rock star rumors that are actually true.
Okay, let's hear the next one.
And let me just tell you, in case you want to know, this is from a place called BuzzFuse.net. This I know to be true. Tupac Shakur's friend smoked his ashes.
Ooh, that's odd.
I remember this. He was cremated, and I believe he said, we can't say for sure, but we think he would have approved of this. I thought he wanted them to do it, but I could be wrong there. His ashes were smoked by the members of his notorious rap group, The Outlaws, with a Z, who have confirmed that the rumors are indeed true.
That's crazy, but not original, I must say.
What, did Charles Manson do that too?
No, he didn't. But, in 1978, there was a Cheech and Chong movie, Up in Smoke, and Tommy Chong said that's the way he wanted to be remembered, was he wanted to be cremated, and then he wanted to be passed around at his funeral, and everyone would smoke the ashes. How do you smoke ashes, though? I mean, is that something that can happen?
Well, I would imagine you'd sprinkle some on the joint.
I guess that's all you'd have to do,
because
right?
you couldn't... How do you keep ashes lit?
Right,
they've
right.
already burnt.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you just...
Ashes are the result of burning, so the
right.
burning would have already had to happen. But, I mean, that actually is a line of dialogue from Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
Well, then maybe... A lot of people saw that movie. Maybe that's where the Outlaws got that idea. Although it's not that. If you smoke doobs all the time, I could imagine you'd think of that.
Sure, you know? Smoke anything.
Even
it doesn't matter. Even
without knowing that Cheech and or Chong came up with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rolling Stones bassist Bill Wyman fell in love with a 13-year-old.
Ooh.
That's totally true, and
yeah,
I remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I have vague memories of that. Of course,
he was,
stories like that, I always think about Jerry Lee Lewis, first and foremost. But
because, wasn't that a relation as
yeah,
well?
I think that was his cousin.
And twice removed.
Teenager.
Yeah, well, Bill Wyman was 48 years old. I totally remember this.
Yeah,
it was all over the tabloids. You'll know the name as soon as I say it. He actually married this girl.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing her 48. She was 13. Mandy Smith.
Mandy Smith.
You remember
Smith.
That
I
name,
do.
Don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I sure do.
They got married on her 18th birthday.
Well,
I don't know how long it lasted.
That's probably why Bill had to quit the Stones 20 years ago, is because he needed to all the energy he could muster to keep up with his teenage wife.
Some of the stuff I can't talk about, including a Led Zeppelin rumor. Not talking about
it. Oh, I know the one, though. Let's go fishing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Google that, people, if you want to know. I'm not doing it, even though we're on the stream.
It's kind of hard to work around that story.
Yeah, I know. I can't. But yeah, Led Zeppelin.
Very
swimming upstream.
Story. Yeah, let's just
sort of. Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat.
True. And a dove.
Yeah.
And Ozzy Osbourne once, while on tour with Motley Crue, in an effort to impress the guys from Crue and show off how crazy he really is, he grabbed a straw, bent down on a sidewalk, and snorted a line of ants that were just milling about on the sidewalk. And the guys from Motley Crue looked at Ozzy and said, you know what? He takes the award. He is more crazy than
we. Too bad we're married. I would go find that Ozzy. Oh, my God. Shin. But didn't he bite the head off a Sharon occasionally,
Ozzy,
too?
He's a performer, and he would try to shock people. And he was very effective in that department, especially in his prime.
Jerry Lee Lewis, as you mentioned, Jim, married his 13-year-old cousin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's the convenience of it all, you know.
Wait, now I didn't know it was his first cousin.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good. First cousin. So that would mean...
He married his cousin before he went on a European tour. This is back in 1958.
So your aunt and uncle then become your mother and father-in-law. That complicates things, I think, around the holidays, too. And around, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, birthday. Just any day really is complicated when you marry your 13-year-old first cousin.
Yeah, that's wild. I didn't realize that.
Arbor Day even becomes complicated.
All right, this is a fun one.
Okay, I love fun.
Unlike the Led Zeppelin one. Again, Jimmy Mackin for Bill Luff. I'm Wendy Snyder here, and we're on the stream. Van Halen didn't want any brown M&Ms in their dressing rooms.
All right, now that, you know, a lot of people...
That's true.
They hear that, and they just point at rock star vanity and say, who do these people think they are making these outrageous demands? But the reason Van Halen did that is because they would construct these things called concert riders, which is just things that the band needs backstage or on stage or anytime they're in the building that they're working at. And so the management for these concert venues would look at these riders. So the band thought. They discovered that a lot of the things on the riders were being blown off. So they put the brown M&M's clause in their rider just to make sure that these venue managers were actually reading the rider.
That's it, to see if the promoters actually read their contracts.
Yeah.
That could have been said much more briefly.
No, why be brief? we have another half hour on the stream.
Well, no, turn around and look who just entered the
place. Did I just enter your kitchen?
Yeah, this is kind of what it's like.
It is kind of just...
How
First
you doing,
of all,
Judy?
Your kitchen looks fabulous because I know you got it redone.
Yeah, and the also, and it's acoustically kind of pleasant in here, too, now, so...
Nope. All right, well, Judy Pilek has walked in. We were talking about rock and roll rumors that are actually true. And I know you know this, and I knew this, and so did Jim, but we just discovered that the Jerry Lee Lewis thing, he did marry his cousin, his 13-year-old cousin, but it was his first cousin. I didn't realize that.
Ooh.
Did you?
13?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember when Bill Wyman, for the bassist from the Rolling Stones, dated a 13-year-old. He married her when she was 18, so they stayed together at least 5 years. That was Mandy Smith. Remember her name all through the tabloids?
Oh, yeah.
I totally remember that.
And are they still married?
I don't think so.
I feel like she became an actress or something.
I think something happened like
for
that.
For Disney.
Yeah. All right, here's one also, and then we'll take a break and do some news with Judy. Michael Jackson wrote music for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Now, I love video games, and I love Sonic the Hedgehog. No, that... Is that the hedgehog?
That's what it sounded like.
Definitely the kitchen.
That was Michael Jackson, I thought.
Yes, he did for Sonic the Hedgehog number 3. Michael was the magnificent mind behind the music for the 1993 console game. I'll try and find it. We're going to take a break and Judy will do some news, and I want to see if I can find it. If we can tell if it's Michael Jackson. The rumor started when one, what rumor? He created, yeah, he did it.
No, I never knew this.
Michael Jackson, it was a super fan, super fan.
Yeah.
And, one MJ superfan found a strange similarity in sound between the game's music and MJ's famous style. The rumor floated around the internet for years, and then it was confirmed in January of 2016 by the composers of that Sega game, and it was definitely Michael Jackson who did Sonic 3.
Why would they want to? Why are they keeping that a secret?
Well, I don't know that he...
You know, isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
Maybe it was they something, just come out and say, hey, music by Michael Jackson.
Maybe it was just something that Michael wanted to do sort of as a vanity project and not let anyone know it was actually him.
Interesting.
Just because he wanted, like, Macaulay Culkin to come over and play a video game. And go, I did the music for this one.
You're the only one who knows.
You're the only one. Well, you know...
Where's Bubbles?
Over there.
Where's Bubbles, my chimp? I love Michael Jackson. I'm sorry. His music was pretty great, and now I got to find Sonic the Hedgehog 3. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do some news with Judy Pilak, and then we have more of these, or we can go off on another tangent. We can do whatever we want.
I'm having a lot of fun with these stories. They're
all right.
I like you.
Again, we wish Bill Leff great luck in his tennis tournament.
He doesn't need luck. He's that good.
He is pretty good, but there are other good people, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, then he needs luck.
Spoken like a true Judy Pilak. All right, it's WGN Radio. Oh, stupid me. Here's what I got to do. Hang on.
You got to press the button.
All right,
hit the
No. I can't press the button. I got to do this. This is the Michael Jackson music from Sonic 3. I could have written this. Does it kick in? No. Judy Pilak could have written this.
I wish I could hear it.
Oh, you can't hear it. Oh, you don't have headphones?
I don't. I don't know where they would...
It's bad. It's just really bad. Michael Jackson Sonic the Hedgehog 3 music. You can look it up. It's really lame. Oh, you're plugging in some headphones.
She couldn't hear it. It sounded like this.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, there you go.
I'm letting Judy hear it.
All right. Well, it's not exactly making me forget Thriller.
That's pretty bad.
Do most people compose music for these games? You figure it's just some...
That's a composition?
No, absolutely. Yeah, there are composers who create the music for all these games. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Thank you so much, Jude. We'd be doing music right now, but we're in a little production room doing our stream. I think this should be over with by next week. Right, Jasmine?
I think so.
They're painting the studios.
It looks good.
And you got some lovely furniture from Walter E. Smith in the newsroom.
How fabulous is that couch? And the dressers and the lamps.
We got some stuff for our office as well. Jimmy Mack, you sat in the lovely leather chair and ottoman.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
They really think things through. They have great design teams. They made us all little pillows there's a Chicago company. I got to find the name. It's hand-painted. And Walter E. Smith people commissioned this place in Chicago to get these pillows, and ours is the Moldorama. You saw that.
Yes.
Ro has a bunch of different cocktails on his pillow. Steve Cochran has like a golf scene. John Williams has a wiener dog because he's had wiener dogs. And the newsroom got just a beautiful WGN logo.
Yeah. And I guess they're really big WGN fans, the people that do that.
Well, they nailed it.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And there's a chair and an ottoman in our office, which one would think our office is not big enough to accommodate that. But I really, we were talking to our boss, Todd Manley, and he said perhaps they were thinking of Bill and the Dick Van Dyke Show and tripping over the ottoman, and perhaps that's why they did it. They're that good.
It is true. The placement of the furniture in the room
is perfect.
Will cultivate many Dick Van Dyke moments, I think. Just naturally, if you're not paying attention, you're going to flip over that little ottoman there.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be fun.
You know, I see you set up a camera. That's just the constantly auto cam. Running. Yeah, time lapse thing, and then it could just. We could put together a montage of everyone tripping over it.
You know, I'm going to switch from the rock and roll things because you say Dick Van Dyke, and they just did a poll on the favorite Illinois actors, and Dick Van Dyke is the top of the poll.
I didn't know.
Did he's from Illinois?
Well, here's where the problem is, because people on Facebook get annoyed at the dumbest things. He grew up in Danville.
He's from Illinois.
The legendary 92-year-old TV and movie actor grew up in Danville. But there's something happened, like he moved at some point, because someone was having a real problem with this on Facebook. One of my Facebook friends was saying, you know, you got to settle down. Just because Dick Van Dyke moved away from Illinois, who cares, you know? But he was from Danville at one point.
When did he move away? When he was an adult?
It doesn't really say. That's the one problem.
Now, if Danville is where he tripped over his first
ottoman, it wasn't that.
Then
his first corn stalk.
Yeah.
All right, here are some other actors that some you may know are from Illinois or you may not. Gene Hackman.
I didn't know
Hackman. I didn't either.
He was from Illinois.
The two-time Academy Award winner for The French Connection and Unforgiven was... Wait, he couldn't have been also raised in Danville.
No.
Right? Let's find
he
out where Dick
Van Dyke's next-door neighbor. They played Little League together.
That
although
would be
I think there is an age difference between the two of them by, I think, a couple of decades.
Not really.
Well, there has to be, because Dick Van Dyke is in his 90s.
And Gene Hackman
is probably 70 or
70,
80.
Oh, maybe 70 something. In the 80s.
That old?
Well,
now,
yeah.
See, the thing with Gene Hackman.
I don't remember a young Gene Hackman.
Van Dyke was from Danville, Illinois. He grew up in Danville, Illinois, and evidently Gene Hackman did too.
Gene Hackman
is how old?
I'm looking up his age right now, but for whatever reason, he is retired from acting altogether.
He was born in 1930.
1930? I didn't think he was that old.
He is close. He's 90.
Holy cow. Maybe he and Dick Van Dyke did play on the same Little League team.
That's crazy.
Maybe
the first two people you bring up.
They were two guys. Maybe they walked together through, you know, 2 miles through the snow to get to school.
I mean, how big could Danville be in 1930?
Yeah. All right, and then here's another one. This is from Patch.com. I love this. Dick Van Dyke tops the poll of favorite Illinois actors. Harrison Ford.
Of course, Harrison Ford.
Grew up in Danville.
He went
no,
to Maine.
No, he did not.
He went to Maine East.
He grew up on
Park
the North
Ridge.
Shore. Park,
yeah, Park Ridge.
Ridge. I never go home.
Because I went to Maine North. That's how I know that.
Harrison Ford.
That's pretty good, Harrison Ford.
Of course, Steven Spielberg. And
you're losing it.
George Lucas. They never been to Illinois, ever.
That's pretty good,
you know,
Jim.
Lucas spends a lot of time in Chicago, actually, because his wife, Melody Hobson, is from Chicago.
Yeah, but he wasn't... Okay, these are Illinois actors. Get off your Star Wars tangent. Yeah. Oh, you were saying it as Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford is...
Gary Sinise, Blue Island native.
Everyone
one of the
knows
founders
that.
Of... he was Lieutenant Dan, of
right.
course. Founders
right.
of Steppenwolf Theater.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston.
I did know that
Will
about
Met,
Heston.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went to New Trier.
And
he was born in Chicago's
Western
North
too.
Shore suburbs and attended New Trier before launching his film career, which included iconic performances in The Ten Commandments, Touch of Evil, Ben-Hur, and Planet of the Apes.
We're playing New Trier in the homecoming game.
Is that Harrison? Or?
Yeah, that's young Harrison, too. That's from when he was growing up here.
Before his voice changed?
Yeah.
Marlon Brando, really?
I think I did know that.
He lived in Evanston. Wow, and Libertyville as a child before going on to make history with The Wild Ones, On the Waterfront, Streetcar Named Desire, The Godfather, and Apocalypse Now. I had no idea he was from here.
Someone just told me a story about someone who went to SIU, and she was the niece of Marlon Brando, and her friend got to go hang out with him on an island.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Tahiti, he used to hang out
yeah.
at all the time. Again, these are favorite Illinois actors. John Belushi.
Obviously.
Yeah. Where were they from?
Yeah.
South Suburbs,
Wheaton.
Wasn't it? Oh, you're right.
The Belushis are from Wheaton.
You're right, because John Belushi went to College of DuPage.
He did, and there's actually the Belushi Family Theater there.
Which Jim
on
Belushi bought, but instead of putting John Belushi's name on it, Jim wanted credit too, so it's the Belushi family.
That's
don't
right.
they have yeah. a sister who's like a really good psychic?
I think you're
that.
Right. I think you're right.
Still
about
in the
that.
Area.
Melissa McCarthy, Plainfield native.
Southside? Oh, Plainfield.
And Jenny McCarthy, okay. Her cousin, was from here too, right? Although
yeah.
I guess she's not. I put her in Illinois actor category.
This is a wealth of information. I didn't even know those two were related.
Those two?
Jenny McCarthy and Melissa McCarthy.
They're cousins.
I had no idea.
First cousins.
Jerry Lee Lewis would have dated them both.
First cousins, they might marry each other. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that came out right away because they look so incredibly different. And I think that was something Melissa said right away, like, okay, let's get this out of the way. Yes, we're related. No, we don't look alike.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. I think Melissa McCarthy is very cute.
I love her.
She's got a really cute face.
Yep.
Well, and it's her personality, too. She's so
bubbly.
I hate
when people say she's got a very cute face. That's just kind of a slam.
Of course, she's...
Because we're talking about how she's like, okay, yes, we're not related.
Right.
I mean, but really,
she's a very pretty girl.
Very pretty.
Of course, she's got that movie coming out this week with the Evil Muppets.
She's not in that.
Yes, she is in it. We heard
this
Dean
is Jim Henson's son. I saw the previews for it, and I'm horrified. I am not easily offended. And these
it sounds really offensive.
It is. They're like drug addicts and sex-starved crazy people.
The sex is supposed to be ridiculous.
And the Muppet people are suing Jim Henson's son. Because he's behind this, and it's
how do you just take your, does he own the rights? Maybe he does.
I don't know.
It was a legacy inheritance.
I think the Disney Corporation owns the Muppets, and if I know anything they're going to protect that IP.
Yeah.
The film is The Happy Time Murders, and it opens this week.
Put it this way, I saw a preview with my 15-year-old and 19-year-old, and they warned me. They're like, Mom, I got to tell you, this is really bad. And it's like to hear them say that.
Right.
And then I watched it and I'm like,
so
this is blasphemous. No, and I'm okay with if you have to sometimes go a little dirty, even a lot dirty, if there's a funny payoff.
Exactly.
Like I'm sorry, Seth MacFarlane. I'm not a big Family Guy fan. Cause to me, that's not funny. It's just to shock you. And this is shocking and appalling, I might add.
Well, Dean certainly didn't appreciate it. He gave it a D-.
Yeah.
And I don't really like to judge films before I see them, but just what I've seen of this really makes me
kind of
feel
ill. But these are all the Muppets we know.
No.
Well, they're not, but they look.
Okay.
They're technically not Muppets, but they are.
They look like Miss Piggy or what?
No, but they just have the Muppet vibe.
Okay.
You know, they're not exact carbon copy replicas of the characters you know, but they certainly would live in that environment with those people.
But that's how they're getting around.
And here's the tagline for the movie. It says, no sesame, all street. It really does. That's not even a joke. It's a vulgar spin on the Muppet movie tradition.
And Melissa McCarthy's in it?
Yeah.
I forgot.
She stars in it. With Maya Rudolph, Joe McHale, and Elizabeth Banks.
The Sesame Workshop is the one filing a lawsuit right now.
Yeah, it gets confusing because Brian Henson, the son of Jim Henson, and the director of this movie, is also president of the Jim Henson Company. But
this is Sesame Workshop that's filing
that name,
property,
that word at all.
That property. Sesame Street.
Right.
See, there's a difference between Sesame Street and the Muppets, too.
Right, because I just said that. You're not listening to me.
Well, because I was reading something, but...
That's what I'm saying.
Right, so they could... Yeah, why wouldn't they do a Muppet movie? Because they own the company, Muppets. But yeah, you can't use Sesame Street or even the word Sesame.
Right, they said no Sesame, all Street. Yeah. And this vulgar spin on the Muppet movie tradition irritated the Sesame Workshop to such a degree that the puppet shop filed the lawsuit against Henson.
What would possess his son to take his father's legacy and just completely drag it through the mud like this? This couldn't be something
that... He wants to make some money.
Well, apparently, but... You know, I'd love to hear what people who worked with Henson, like a Frank Oz, what he would have to say about this stuff. I don't know if he's gone on the record about this film or anything, but
I can't find out why he did it other than he just wanted to make money and to shock people. That's what this era is right now, is you try and shock someone. And then you pull in a Melissa McCarthy and Elizabeth Banks.
Well, I mean, vulgar movies, they make money.
Oh, my God, did you see Sausage Party?
God, no.
Oh, my,
Judy, I'm sorry, I just called you Julie.
That's
like an idiot. I would never see Judy plunk down money to see Sausage Party.
Well, no, I didn't.
I might watch it on TV if it was on and I was flipping through.
Yeah,
I believe me,
that's when I watched
it. Share of raunchy movies. But yeah, that to me, those are just, I mean, like you said earlier,
it's a cartoon of food having sex.
I mean, my God.
I can't believe because I love Seth Rogen, and I thought, I am going to watch this.
Oh,
and
gosh,
I was horrified.
No. What are the series of movies, Scary Movie?
They're funny.
Hilarious.
They are funny.
And they get progressively worse.
Yeah.
I mean, but that is what I mean. I will watch that. That, to me, there's a payoff. But some of these movies they're making, you know, recently are ridiculous. Like the Muppet movie. Just because, of course, take the most sacred children's thing and make it into a vulgar movie. I'm just very disappointed.
I'm anxious to see what the box office is.
I bet it'll do okay.
I don't know. Well, Melissa McCarthy's a big draw, yeah. And then you wonder about her. Why are you...
Who's going to go see that movie? 20-something.
Yeah, teenagers, 20-somethings.
Yep. Is it rated
R? Thank God we're old. I don't know what it's rated.
Yeah, I believe it's a hard R, is what Dean said.
I don't want to waste my time not seeing a really good movie.
And then I had also read that the new Kevin Spacey movie, which I don't know what it is, opened and it made like $600.
That's really sad.
I know, isn't it?
And I loved Kevin Spacey.
What did
he was
do?
A great actor.
Oh, House of Cards is coming back.
A movie. He's not in it.
And he's been booted from that show.
Yeah, this was a movie.
What, did they kill him off?
I don't know.
I thought there would probably be more of an interest factor in going to see Kevin's last movie, you know?
Right?
Billionaire Boys Club bombed at the box office.
I thought they tried to weed him out somehow of the movie, no?
No, this was another one where, okay, who's the actor who came in to do all of Kevin Spacey's part. They brought him in at the last minute. This was Billionaire Boys Club. No one even knew about it. It bombed at the box office. It earned $126 on opening day.
Come on!
$126. It reported another $162 in box office receipts on Saturday, 2-day gross of $288.
Yeah. Come on.
A total box office take of $618.
Well, it's obviously being screened at one theater, probably like once a day.
Well, I don't know. It's just no one wants to see it. They haven't been promoting it. But what was the other movie he was in where he was cut out of at the last minute?
Yeah, and he was replaced with
another actor.
Venerable, older actor. It was a last-minute reshoot.
And they had to do it very quickly. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World.
That's okay. Right, yeah. Ridley Scott.
And the other one's called Billionaire...
The Billionaire Boys, something or other.
With the titles around money.
Yeah. I don't know. I still can't believe this Muppet thing is going on. And if you haven't seen the previews, I mean, or the trailer or whatever it's called in this lingo today, you can Google it and watch it. It will appall you. It'll ruin your weekend, Jude.
I'm going to go watch it right after the show.
I know. Now you have to. I know.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll
go sit on my couch and feel better about it.
Yeah, your new couch from Walter E. Smith. Did we get John Malkovich, too, as the final Illinois actor that was on this list? But Dick Van Dyke tops the poll of favorite Illinois actors, and as he should.
Yes, he should. He's so fabulous.
All right. We are going to close up shop here in a moment, as Bill would say. I can't wait till Monday to find out how Bill did in his tennis tournament. State champion, perhaps? I don't know how to say it. It's Illinois State.
How are you going to work with him?
Yeah, his head will become really big.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
He'll probably come in his tennis outfit. And, what is, I wonder what he wears?
I know, we talked about at the beginning.
Because you can't just wear some slouchy shorts.
No, he has tennis shorts that he mentioned. We asked him that. I think Kim Gordon asked him that yesterday. And he said he doesn't wear tennis whites, but he does wear tennis shorts that his wife picked out and one of his daughters.
Thank goodness.
And then like a polo type shirt. So I bet a baseball cap.
Yeah.
I would like to have a photo shoot with Bill in nothing but tennis whites, and we can produce a calendar out of it. The Bill Left tennis calendar. No, you don't think? Jasmine, have we gotten any updates from ESPN on how Bill's doing today?
No, nothing.
Nothing's come in yet.
Fierce match.
We're getting updates.
Well, I'm proud of him. He's always loved to play tennis. You know, I like gardening. I don't ever go to a championship garden off or anything like that. So we'll see how he does. I wish him the best. I know you guys do, too. And we're going to take a quick break. Judy, thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting
weekend.
Me to your kitchen, guys.
Absolutely.
This is our kitchen table.
Do you like the linoleum? All right. We'll wrap things up in just
a
second. Thanks, Jude. All right, hang on. We're live here, Jim. I got to play this because we got to get ready to wrap things up, if you don't mind. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Bill has taken the day off. Bill will be back on Monday. We're anxious to find out how he did in his tennis championship tournament. Jimmy Mack sitting in for Bill Left today. I really appreciate the fun time we had.
Oh, what a blast. Julie, I just did it again. Judy is right. It did feel kind of like the kitchen table here.
The stream is a very unique animal, Jim. It's fun to hang out here. I typically call this, it's either the bonus hour, what is the stream of consciousness, Bill Left Unleashed, because typically Bill unleashes a little bit during the stream. So you do feel like it's just a relaxed atmosphere. We're sitting around at a card table, maybe.
Screwing up people's names.
I do that a lot.
Earlier, I saw Dane. And I called him Dale. And
oh, Dane Neal?
Yeah. And then I called him Dale, and I called him Dan. So I'm, and I know everyone's name.
Yeah, but you don't see him on a regular basis.
Yeah, I know you.
You call me other things than my name.
Sometimes. And then there's Yasmin.
All right.
And there's, do people ever call you Yasmin?
My doctor.
Your doctor does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for hanging out, Jimmy Mack. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. If you want to hear more of my crazy rants, specifically about Star Wars, you can listen to Rebel Force Radio right here at WGNplus.com.
Or on iTunes or wherever you get your
favorite. Wherever you get them. We have a website too, RebelForceRadio.com.
All right, I was going to say all that for you so you don't sound like a braggart, but you fit it all in.
I'm not bragging, I'm just promoting.
That's a good point. All right, everybody, I'm going to... He's... Have a great weekend, everybody. Jimmy, thank you so much. See you later.
Bye.